I'm Selena Sage, and Live Free is for our collective liberation. Namaste and welcome. It felt very important to follow up on yesterday's message, the lessons from Lao Tzu, with this simple message: you are infinite. And as much as I love all of the teachings of Lao Tzu, there is this realization and this feeling that so many of our spiritual texts are written as a roadmap, as a guide, giving us the necessary ingredients to meet us in our various stages, to direct us to the truth of our own beingness. And even the great teachings of Lao Tzu, which are describing the Tao, don't necessarily say that you are in fact the Tao. It can read as if it's some sort of state that's outside of your own self. And I believe this is helpful in various stages of the process, because if I were to just say you are not a person, there's a lot of resistance that can come up, because our experience in this life is very much attached to the form. And so even if you get to the point of accepting that you're not the body, to say you're not the mind is another leap, because we become very attached to this idea that we are what we think, which is true and also not true, the paradox. It is not true because the mind is a limited aspect of our infinite selves. It is true because when we are identified as the person, then what we believe becomes what we are. Defines our actions. And that to me is what the teachings of Lao Tzu yesterday were assisting with. It is to help this cultivation, recognizing the importance of our words aligning with our actions. And eventually, when we're living in integrity, there comes this next stage of moving beyond the limited. But the foundation is important. And so that is why I feel it is very important to honor masters like Lao Tzu, who lay the groundwork. I think also Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh did just a glorious service in providing a roadmap of practical teachings that are able to be absorbed. So by teaching us to focus on our breath, we're practicing this one-pointed attention. And that one-pointed attention helps us to eventually get to the state where we recognize the mind for what it is. That these are just thoughts that are arising. And that our attention is what allows us to experience. The thought that is getting our attention is defining our present moment experience. But we can only know that when we have the practice of going through the meditation, focusing on our breath, recognizing the result that that has on our personal experience. But to truly recognize that you are not actually bound, one has to release the ego, this body-mind. One has to know that the body-mind is not what you are. It is a vessel for what you are from the state of consciousness. And from the state of awareness, it's illusion. But who can hear this? Who can hear this? It's very, very difficult, because we are processing these words through our mind, and our mind is limited by our experience. So if we've only experienced ourselves as a person, the idea of being free from this personal construct sounds very, very out of this world. It doesn't make any sense. And so the masters and the texts give us these roadmaps and these guides that allow us to get to that point where we break open to the truth. And I think of the analogy of the stonecutter. So the stonecutter is all day just hitting this hammer against stone 100 times, 150 times. And on the 151st strike, the rock cracks open. It's not that 151st strike that caused the opening. It was the 150 strokes before that weakened the rock to the point that it was ready to break open. And so in this way, I believe that oftentimes this realization and recognition of what we truly are happens in an instant. But it is also often a result of the cultivation that we've done to create the openness to recognize and hear phrases like, you are infinite. Because when we're hearing that through the filter of our ego, our idea of ourselves as this body-mind, it doesn't make sense. And Srimuji, I always think of this quote, he said, you cannot be free as the person. You can only be free from the person. And this is this idea that as long as we believe us ourselves to be this person with the body and a mind, there is bondage. We're creating our own bondage by believing ourselves to be this limited form. But freedom is just the recognition that we are not actually bound. Our truest self is not bound. But to know that we are the self, the Tao, awareness, or even this idea of being even prior to any spiritual deity is difficult to process because we're accustomed and we're conditioned to thinking of the great creator, the great source, the divine as something outside of ourselves, something we are not. And this is true from the perspective of the person. But when we peel back the layers of our person to recognize that we are simultaneously operating both as the seen thoughts, the seer of thoughts, and the seeing itself. And we have the opportunity to select our lane, pick our position. Are we operating at the level of thought? If so, then we are completely logged in to this personhood. Are we shifting to the observation of thought? Is this stepping into the position of the I am? If we shift all the way back to the seeing of the seer, to observe the observer, this is the ultimate free state that we truly are. This is what we are, but we are conditioned to not thinking of ourselves as that. We're accustomed to thinking of ourselves as objects, as persons. And so this realization that you're not an object can be difficult to sort out. So I share the teachings of Lao Tzu and other masters with love because those teachings help pave the way for this ultimate recognition that we have to have through our own experience. It's not something that we can just rely on the words for. We have to embody the teachings. We have to be the Buddha now. Sri Ramana Maharshi said, "The cause of your memory, or of your misery, pardon me, the cause of your misery is not in the life outside you. It is in you as the ego. If you would deny the ego and scorch it by ignoring it, you would be free. If you accept it, it will impose limitations on you and throw you into a vain struggle to transcend them." And so he's basically saying that as long as you're recognizing yourself to be the limited person, there's this struggle that ensues to try to transcend the necessary limitations of objectifying ourselves, identifying ourselves as the form. But if we deny the ego, if we deny the limitations, if we recognize that we're infinite, we're free. And this is because we are, in my way of seeing things, we're operating at these levels all at the same time. And that's why we're able to shift from the perspective of the person to feel in our bodies the reflection of what we're thinking. This is identification as the person. And then to sort of zoom out and just observe the thoughts themselves, recognizing the freedom that's there. And then ultimately to know we are that which is able to see the seer. We are the seeing, the source of the emergence of the whole world of name and form. This all arises with consciousness, the consciousness that we are, that everything is made of. And even in deep sleep, which is, you know, kind of a reflection, a pointing of this truest state of awareness, we're still consciousness because it's part of this cycle. Anything that changes cannot be what we truly are. So even the cycle from waking to dream state to deep sleep, it's all happening within consciousness. But it's giving us a clue. It's allowing us to recognize the stillness and silence of our true nature. I think of it as a shift between our various states that are happening even now, but the phases of waking, which is the person, dreaming, which I think of as consciousness, and then the deep sleep, the awareness. It's showing us, it's sort of giving us a clue of our three positions that we have the opportunity to operate from, even in the waking, dream, and deep sleep states. I have to believe that masters remain as the infinite, no matter what the state of the body as consciousness is going through. completely removed from these cycles, but also in this human experience, necessarily having to sleep and eat to care for the body itself. Once there's detachment from the body, which can be done, I've had experience of this, you can wander as the wind, but there's protection of in this body temple for that infinite beingness that we are. Allows us to continue in this experience. So added to that freestyle, I thought I would share a passage from my latest book, Finding Freedom Where You Are, even though I advocate eventually throwing away all books. There's still help to be had, I think, sometimes by considering different texts. So this pointing is, you are pure awareness. And the accompanying perspective is as follows. Awareness that you exist, that you are, comes before any thought or feeling. I like to think of this as your original state before you put on the 50 fur coats of your personality, personal story, and innumerable thoughts and feelings. If you remove all of the stories, thoughts, and feelings, even just for a moment, you find that you still exist. This presence is consciousness. That which recognizes this presence is awareness. Awareness is the changeless silence and stillness that is beneath and within all of the fur coats and the coat that is your form. Though your body and mind continuously change throughout your life, awareness is unchanging. Awareness has no beginning or end, and no birth or death. Thus, it is infinite and unborn. You are infinite. And this perspective is something that I refer to a lot. And conversation, thinking about these 50 fur coats of all of the aspects of your personality, your personal story, getting caught up in all of your actions or non-actions, your attachments, and the innumerable thoughts and feelings. So just like waves, thoughts and feelings are always arising, changing. And these are coats that we were wearing. This idea of what our mood is, what other people, the perception of other people around us, what they're doing, all of these things are sort of coats that are, in a sense, like a veil. A veil of this, that is impeding this recognition of our truest nature. But if you start removing all of that, if you remove the stories, the thoughts, the feelings. Release all of these ideas of what you've done, what you've yet to do. Just for a moment. Remove all of that. Put it down. And you find that you still exist. This can be felt as like a presence that's remaining. It's unencumbered by all of those coats that were previously feeling so heavy. And this presence is consciousness. So it's at the root of everything. All of these stories, all of these ideas, take it all off, and then this presence remains. But something is recognizing even that presence. And that absolute absence is awareness. Because awareness is consciousness, has the space to be. And we know this awareness to be this changeless silence and stillness that's both at the root of it all, but also within. It's kind of woven within all of the experience as well. It's infinite, so it can't be defined as something separate. But once this recognition of awareness is there, we can think of the experience a little differently. And I'm remembering something that dear Rupert Spira shared, and I'm going to find that quote because it was really spot on. So he said in his book, Being Myself, there's no aspect of experience that is not pervaded by our sense of self. So this is recognizing that this awareness that we are, the I am, runs through everything. And so then he said, all experiences are made of experiencing, but experiencing is not made of an experience. So he says, all experiences are made of experiencing. So this means that awareness is still running through all of the experiences that we have. But experiencing is not made of an experience. So awareness itself is not made of all of those experiences. It's prior to that. And within all of the experiences, but it's not made of an experience. It just is. All experiences are made of experiencing, but experiencing is not made of an experience. So what does this mean? It means that when we recognize the true state, that which is beneath all the layers of the fur coat, the ideas and the thoughts, when we remove all of that, that which remains, the presence, is appearing in the absolute absence of awareness. But the awareness is not made of all of the ideas and thoughts and stories. It's not made of that. It's prior to all of that, but also within all of those things. I can already feel how off the wall it must sound, because this truth can't be put into words. It's very, very, I would even say it's impossible for our limited minds to comprehend that which is prior to the mind. Our minds are not made to function in a way that allows us to understand that there's something prior to it, beyond it. Because the mind, the ego, wants to survive. It wants to be relevant. So to recognize that you are pure awareness means that the ego is out of a job. And so the ego doesn't want to be out of a job. So it's like none of this seems to make any sense. But if you try it, if you just put down all of your stories, your thoughts, your feelings, your identification, your attachments, and even the person that is attached, there's a freedom that remains. And this is how you know. This is how you know that you are infinite. And because you are infinite, there's actually nothing to do. There's nothing to transcend. because you're already free. You're not bound. But this is a level of wisdom that I think the masters wisely sort of hold back a little bit, because there's a cultivation that is really necessary to ensure that this wisdom is learned through experience. And what better way to experience than through giving and being the loving kindness that is adding joy and love into this personal experience. If that part of the personal nature has not been cultivated, this wisdom could be harnessed in negative ways. If that true recognition of oneness, that which we are, is not deeply, deeply understood, then this idea of being infinite can be harnessed to negative effect. So the masters are wisely, you know, teaching this positive self-cultivation, the Eightfold Path, the Ten Commandments, all of these things to guide us, to help us see that there is really no self and no other. And we recognize the positive effects of doing good. And these are great stepping stones to ultimately realizing that actually we are all one. And that we are in fact infinite. And then when you know that you are infinite, that you are pure awareness, you recognize that you are only bound by your ideas. So just try on this new idea. Recognize your true self as the infinite. Know that you're not, from this standpoint of awareness, you're not the sum of your actions. You're not your attachments, your thoughts, or your feelings. You're prior to even the observer of all of those thoughts and feelings. You're the still and silent source. You are the Tao. You are love. Now simply live in your heart. Dissolve all ideas in the light of your love. Extend kindness in all directions. And know that you are free. Of course, that is what I always wish for you. And I thank you so much for being here. Namaste.